Tornadoes tear apart Missouri, and are Iraqi Christians close to extinction? We'll get to it all on this episode of The Hot Zone.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country in wars far away. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember.
Hi folks, it's Memorial Day, and before we get to the stories I'm covering, I just wanted to take a minute and honor the men and women who have sacrificed so much to make America what it is today. So few people in America today even know a person who's serving in the military, and the number who are actually serving at any given time is really kind of infinitesimal. It's a 0.6% of our population or something like that. Since the founding of our country, over 1 million American warriors have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Today, we honor that.
It used to be called Decoration Day. It was declared in 1868, 3 years after the end of the American Civil War, and it was intended to bring people together. Folks at Arlington Cemetery decorated all the graves, both Union and Confederate. Almost 100 years later, President Ronald Reagan spoke of what was now called Memorial Day,
and to pray that no heroes will ever have to die for us again.
But America's heroes continue to die for us on battlefields in Afghanistan, Iraq, the Horn of Africa, and elsewhere. After a decade and a half of fighting America's enemies in the global war on terror, things sometimes seem to be going the wrong direction. Politicians in Washington seem bent on snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. It's led some people to wonder if all the sacrifice, all the hardship, and all the blood and treasure were worth the cost. When you grow a garden, it's beautiful at first, but before long, the noxious weeds spring up. Cleaning the garden means long hours of work in the hot sun, seeking out each weed and tearing it out so the good plants can grow. But the weeds come back. Before long, you have to go back over the same ground and pull them out again. We might pray that no heroes will ever have to die for us again, that as long as evil exists in this world, we'll need new heroes every generation to stand in the gap for us. And that knowledge should bring us together. America is as divided today as ever, but Memorial Day should be a day for us to lay aside those differences and acknowledge the debt we all owe to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for America.
So one of the greatest things about America is our willingness to sacrifice for the benefit of others. If you do a little research, you'll find out that Americans are the most charitable people group on the planet by a long shot. And that's likely due to our Judeo-Christian heritage, among other things. But it's one thing that makes America special, the fact that America is not just great, it's good. It's easy to see this kind of thing play out whenever tragedy strikes somewhere in the United States. On Wednesday, tornadoes hit Missouri and killed several people, made a mess out of the northern part of Joplin and Jefferson City. Now, you might remember that Joplin was all but wiped off the map by a huge tornado 8 years ago. I was there for the aftermath of that one and found some perfect examples of how good Americans are helping our fellow man. Watch.
Cleaning up after the tornado that hit Joplin on Sunday is going to be a mammoth undertaking. Federal, state, and local officials are getting off to a good start with the help of thousands of volunteers who continue to stream in from around the country. This Marine was home on leave before deploying to Afghanistan in a few weeks.
I'm here on pre-deployment right now with my family, and the tornado just destroyed everything, so I felt that it was just my civil duty just to come in and help out as much as possible before I actually go overseas.
A command center near the damaged hospital coordinates where each team will operate. Church groups around the city have become feeding centers that are distributing aid to those in need.
While many of the survivors that are showing up at these distribution centers have lost friends and loved ones, one thing they can't get here is closure. That's going to come from a specially equipped team that's out searching for many of the hundreds of people who are still missing. And they're employing some four-legged friends for help.
We've been to Oklahoma City bombing, 9/11, Katrina, and now Joplin, Missouri.
Missy Epperson started the Mid-America Canine Search and Rescue in 1995. The team of medical professionals and other volunteers responds to disasters with dogs specially trained to sniff out people who are trapped beneath the rubble. When they heard about the devastation in Joplin, they knew they had to go.
We man up, we tell where we're going to meet at and give a central location, and that's where we go.
And their efforts are paying off. This man has the team to thank for rescuing him after 2 days trapped in his basement. The needs here will continue long after the last missing person is accounted for. That's why Operation Blessing is in Joplin, making arrangements to help the residents here rebuild for the long term. Jody Geddes is the director of U.S. Disaster Relief.
Operation Blessing is delivering truckloads of food and water, but in addition to that, we're actually going to be running volunteer teams to help the residents directly begin to recover the contents of their homes, remove the debris so they can begin to rebuild their lives. We come into a community, we work with the local churches, helping empower them because they know the needs better than we do as outsiders. So we begin to work together as the body of Christ to serve the community in the best way possible.
Chuck Holton, CBN News in Joplin, Missouri.
I've seen the same things play out in so many disasters I've covered, and frankly, it's one of the reasons I love doing this job. Because when the chips are down and people are losing everything and just trying to survive, everybody comes together and helps each other. Politics don't matter, economic station doesn't matter. It's just people helping people. And one of my heroes in this is my good friend Kenny Vaughn. During the floods that hit Houston in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey in 2017, he spent weeks of his time and literally thousands of dollars just helping people who needed it. Listen to him explain why.
We hit the road to Houston and we spent the last 3 days pulling people out. I don't know, maybe 400 people, but my wife called and said the water's getting close to our house. Local neighborhoods are going under. They're doing water rescues here. We know this area, and so we had to come back to our home. So we're going to spend the rest of the day today helping.
I know the fire department called you back to Beaumont because they need your help there. Can you tell me your reaction as you pull upwards of 400 people away from the floodwaters to safety? Just what are those folks going through? What was going through your mind as you're going through these rescues?
They're going through hell. And I expected panic. I expected a lot of stuff, but that's not what I found. And these people are courageous, man. They're awesome. I love them. They love us. They got their kids in life jackets and floaties. We're loading them 18, 20 at a time in our boat. There's guys around us. Their boats are breaking down. They're walking them in and out.
Yeah.
You know, and yesterday we were on our own in most places. Today, there's a line of boats. Man, there's civilian volunteers. It's amazing. And the people that are coming out of there are amazing. We're praying for them. They're praying for us. You know, I love this country, man. It's a great country. I'm sick of it fighting. I'm sick of this, of all the stupid. That's not who we are. I know it's not who we are. Every religion, every color, every race, they all been on this boat the last 3 days. They're all grateful. We love each other. There's an army of civilian volunteers down there that are getting it done. They're the ones that are getting it done. And the law enforcement, they're doing all they can. But the civilians that got the boats, that got the equipment, that got trucks that, you know, are 10, 12 inches of lift on them that can drive in and out. And these guys are tearing up their vehicles, tearing up their boats. It don't matter. It don't matter, man. They're getting the people out. I love my country. I've always loved my country, but I didn't know my country. And I get out and I go everywhere I can. But I met my country this weekend, the last 3 days. I met them in every color, every shape, and every race. They are so grateful. They are so courageous. They're amazing. And I want our country to come together. You know, I mean, our country was built on love. And love isn't a feeling. It is doing what is best for someone else without regard for yourself. It's the best thing you'll ever do for yourself, but you can't do it for yourself. We've all been hurt. Some of us been hurt far worse than others. Most have been hurt worse than me. But nothing will fix hurt like loving other people. Being loved is nice, but when you get busy loving, when you get busy putting other people before yourself, that's what built this nation. That's why this nation's great. The only thing that can tear it down is selfishness and fear. We saw that this weekend, and we have a loving nation. It is still here, and I want us to start loving each other.
Well, if that doesn't make your heart swell and maybe your eyes leak a little bit, you need to get your heart checked, that's for sure. That's all I need to say about that. All right, let's talk a little bit about Christians in Iraq. The Archbishop of Erbil, the capital of Kurdistan, has accused Christian leaders in the West of failing to do enough in defense of the vanishing Christian community in that country. Giving a speech in London this week, the Right Reverend Bashar Warda said Iraq's Christians now face extinction after 1,400 years of persecution. Well, is that true? It is true that Iraqi Christians have had a really tough time over the last 5 years, and even before that, it wasn't very easy. There had been areas in that country where Christianity actually flourished at one time, but now the vast majority of Christians in Iraq and that whole region have been driven out or killed off during the plague that was ISIS. But I believe there's reason to hope. When I was just in Kurdistan in February, I went to a church that was led by American missionaries in Erbil. They had services on Fridays, and it was thriving.
Iraq will never be the same after ISIS. Sectarian divisions are more deeply felt across the country now than ever before. But there's another, more positive effect ISIS has created. The unspeakable cruelty and outright barbarism displayed by the radical sect has caused some Muslims to actually question the roots of their own faith.
Since ISIS, there's been a lot of talk of what is a Muslim? Is this Islam? Is this Salafism? What is this? And a lot of people are like, I don't want it anymore. That's what they're saying. There's a lot of what we say MBBs, Muslim background believer, and they all have amazing stories, many from Iran. Many are having dreams and visions of Jesus, and we're just seeing that more and more now. But there's an openness, especially with the young people and social media. They have windows to the whole world, and they're willing to hear something new.
There were many visitors at the service that I attended who were current or former Muslims, and they told me about the brutality of ISIS and how it caused them to rethink their own faith. And some said it even led them to embrace Christ. The church had a great service and a powerful preaching. I got permission from the pastor of the church to film the service and interview some of the members. And from that, I made a great news feature for CBN that they absolutely loved. But after it aired, the pastor's wife got really worried that the church would be targeted because of my report. So she was so distraught, even thinking about it, that we ended up pulling the whole episode down off the website, which is really unfortunate. One of the great things about Kurdistan is its tolerance. And lots of different ethnic, tribal, and religious minorities live there in peace. In fact, I got to visit an Aramaic church there at one time. They're one of the only churches left in the world that hold services in the language that Christ spoke. It was really an incredible time.
Sectarian violence is unheard of in this region, and even petty crime is relatively low.
It's early morning here in this suburb of Erbil called Ankawa. The people that live here are almost exclusively Christian, many of whom fled from Baghdad and other areas of Iraq and came here for one reason, because you can walk the streets at night.
Kurdistan is now the only Middle Eastern country besides Israel whose schools teach a religion-neutral curriculum. This is astounding since the area is more than 90% Muslim, yet they do not require students to learn Islamic precepts to graduate. Because of this peaceful, pluralistic worldview, Christians and other non-Muslims from around the Middle East are flocking to the area.
Here, you have Muslims, you have Christians, you have Yazidi, you have people of all different races, Arab and Kurdish and everybody, but they all live together peacefully. You don't have the divisions that you have in the South.
Yes, yes.
Why do you think it's different in Kurdistan?
It was problem before. Before it was a problem between Barzani's group and Taliban group. Before it was, but now it's safe. Okay, now the people start to understand what's going on.
Nihad Khoja is Erbil's mayor.
For over 1,000 years, many nationalities have lived in Kurdistan, not only Kurdish people. Here, people have their own religions and own directions. And as long as they are living here, among other people, they will be free and live together.
So I'm hopeful. On this last trip, I interviewed several groups who are pushing for a Christian enclave in the Nineveh province, trying to make it a semi-autonomous region like Kurdistan, but specifically for Christians. There's a lot of hostility toward that idea by other groups, you can imagine, but who knows? With God, all things are possible. So pray for the Christians that are left in Iraq and Syria. Pray for their safety, but more than that, pray that they'll have the courage to keep spreading the gospel without getting too worried about their own safety. After all, Christians throughout history really haven't been known for being all that risk averse. So that's all I've got for today, folks. Thanks for watching. Have a great weekend. I know I will. And we'll be back again with more next week, right here on The Hot Zone.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.